Gators, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Radio Row in Phoenix. And this is going to be, I'm looking forward to what's about to happen.
What's about to happen?
Two of my favorite guys who happen to live in Phoenix, both have Super Bowl rings from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, will be sitting next to each other in, I don't know, 8 minutes, as soon as we can hustle them in here. So
it's going to be a fun time.
You're bigger, and he probably has bigger arms.
You're probably right.
Have you ever seen Pittman's arms?
I've seen pictures. I saw him with President Bush.
He was President Bush rolled his sleeve up and made him flex.
It's one of my favorite pictures of all time. And I told Mike, I go, let's get this picture. I sent it to the White House, and President Bush signed it and sent it back to Mike.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's him, you know, flexing and that's, you know, all that good kind of stuff. So yeah, it's.
Have you ever sent my pictures anywhere?
No. Yeah, I have. Yeah, I have. But you don't know where.
I can guess where.
So, the trash bin. So the question that I was going to ask, and I was almost put in the biggest dilemma of my life, not whether to get married, not whether to join the Navy. That wasn't as big as. So because of the world that we live in today, we've had a falling out with part of our family. Let me rephrase that. Part of our family had a falling out with us.
Okay.
I mean, you know me. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care what you believe. I don't care. Well, I do care what he says. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, believe what you believe. And I honestly had one of the best conversations ever. Was it yesterday? You know, when we had the religious conversation from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
And we talked about
Miles,
that.
Killebrew.
And I said how, you know, you can believe what you believe, and I believe what I believe. Well, the former chapel of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, remind me where I was so I can get back to it, was a friend of mine. You know, we were friends. And when my mother-in-law passed away, I asked him to do the service, and he said, absolutely not. He said, I can't do it. You don't believe, I can't do it. And here's, you know, a football player who's very religious, and his chaplain, who is the chaplain with the Pittsburgh Steelers, apologized.
Yeah.
And I told my wife, and she was moved by that. You know, she doesn't get moved anything that this radio show does.
Yeah.
You know, and it meant something. So anyway, so we had a falling out, on and on and on. I'll tell you off the air reasons.
All right.
You know, I stand by everything I do, everything I say, everything. I think it's ridiculous. You know, I don't care about any of that stuff. Well, they did. So the day that Steve and I almost thought you were Steve, we were in New York for the UFC. And on Wednesday, when I landed, I found out that Rocky Balboa, Sylvester Stallone, was on Kellyanne Ryan. Okay?
That's a big one.
My cousin works, my cousin from the side that no longer talks to us, and said, don't ever call me again and don't whatever, could have gotten me in to meet Sylvester Stallone.
Ooh.
Now, you know, it's about what do you do?
Yeah.
I did not call.
Hey, you gotta stand by your morals. I don't know.
You know,
I mean, I don't know anything about that situation, but you gotta.
You know, but again, it's not my moral. You know, they blocked us. We didn't block them.
But Rocky, he comes to UFC shows all the time, doesn't he? You could find him one time.
It would have been, well, I'll eventually find him.
Yeah.
But it would have been easier to do it then than. It goes back to that statement that I said before. What are you willing to lose your credentials for?
Right.
You know, am I going to walk in the back? You know, back when I was allowed in the back and I got to, you know, who was the guy from the movie Speed?
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, when I met him and, you know, he was in the back and protected. Well, I was allowed back there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not Matt. I don't just walk around the Apex like I own the place.
Well, you can't.
Yeah, neither can
security.
You.
Like, they'll stop you. Like,
that's why you're no longer credentialed.
Wait till you see me install the ice plunge in the back of 8-Man Strong.
So my question, and I don't think there is anyone, but find me someone. This is a Leonard Western answer. Remember, I forced him into answering. Who would that one person be?
I think Rocky is a pretty cool one, to be honest with you. He's pretty freaking cool. And the other one, I think, is Arnold. Because from what I've heard, meeting Arnold is like you're meeting the character. He acts exactly how you want him to act or how you would think he would act. So I think those are a couple good ones. In terms of athletes?
Well, just in anybody. It doesn't even have to be an athlete. It's just who would that one person be, and you just said two of them,
yeah,
that would make you be unprofessional like Matt and get up in the middle of the show, you know, and go do a picture.
See, I would never do that.
No, I know you would. I know you would.
I will say,
don't say never.
But I was kind of, you know, when you're coming out of college, and you're on these draft visits and all that, you start meeting a bunch of guys, and most of it, you know, you got to play it cool. First of all, meeting Tom was pretty cool. But when I was in Oakland at the time with the Raiders, and John Gruden came up and he started talking about Humboldt and his John Gruden voice. And I was like, that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. Because growing up, I was a Raiders fan, you know. So
who wasn't?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
It's the Raiders.
Al Davis, all you do.
I got punched by John Gruden once. And when I
deserve it?
When I say punched, sure. I don't mean a love tap.
Yeah.
So we're at the Outback Bowl big party that they have. And Jay Gruden used to play shortstop on my softball team.
Okay.
So Jay and Pat Sperduto, who's the scout with the Chiefs, you know, they would leave storm practice, come just down the street, it's about 3 miles, and play on the softball team, as will the guest that's about ready to come here, yeah, you know, would do the same thing. And so I go up to John, and, you know, he knows me from the media, from covering the Bucks, and I make the comment that, you know, hey, Jay used to play on my softball team. And he hauls off and punches me in the arm like, yeah, that's awesome. I'm like, did you really have to hit me that hard?
So friendly but aggressive.
Yes. It was an aggressive, like, that's the coolest thing ever. Let me break your arm.
Love that.
You know, so all right. So it's Sly and it's Arnold.
Yeah.
Any musician-wise, any actor-wise, any, you know, you said athletes, and I'm just anybody, but.
Yeah, I don't know that. I think, I don't know. There's no one really that jumps out at me like that. I will say getting in the huddle the very first time with Tom Brady, that was a pretty good one, where you're kind of like, oh, okay, we're doing this.
So a guy just walked by in a blue sweater. Okay, yeah. Matt saw him.
Yeah, I did.
And I saw him walking down the press box area at Raymond James Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to him and I hugged him as hard as I hugged Rondé Barber yesterday.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen the video.
No.
And he was going in the Ring of Honor that day. And I went and I hugged him and I said, I'm so proud of you. I love you, dude. And he goes, I'm Tiki.
Yeah, you gotta get the right guy.
Yeah, you might want to get the right barber.
You know, how long have you known him for?
But
you can't tell him apart.
I put the blame on the twins because they should wear their uniform. Like Pittman will wear Pittman uniform. That way, it's in disguise, so nobody knows it's Michael Pittman. It's smart.
A little reverse psychology.
If I see the Giants, I know it's Tiki. If I see the Bucks, I know it's Rondé.
Are they that?
I think they're really. You know, I'm looking at that. Could be Rondé. I don't know.
We don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's Tiki because he looked at me when he walked by like, don't hug me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I actually, now that you say that, I would have thought that was Rondé.
Right? right. It's really crazy.
That's why I don't say hi to people. You can learn something.
I think all you athletes should wear your uniform when you go out in public, so it makes it easier for us.
Where's your uniform?
Well, I got it on.
I wouldn't let him wear it. I said no because he wanted to do the mohawk. He wanted to do the clown suit.
The Ninja Turtle?
But I'll talk about clowns. Randy calls me a clown. Clowns save lives. When the professional bull rider falls, it's the clown that saves a life.
How about that?
How much value do clowns have now?
So we should be calling you a hero.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Luckily, he doesn't know how to make sound bites and
there
stuff.
There you go, Adam. There's another idea for you. Clowns are heroes. Right? Clowns are heroes. I was just saying, we have a whole new line.
I can't do it.
Clowns are heroes.
I may get up and walk away.
Randy can't even get in on the joke. That's how disgusted he is.
No, yeah, I just absolutely ignore it.
These are great brainstorming sessions.
Will you watch the game on Sunday?
Yeah, I'll probably watch it. I'll enjoy watching. I won't be emotionally invested one way or the other, but I'll hang out with some friends, eat some good food, and it'll be a good time.
I'm not invested either. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I dislike one team and I don't care about the other.
Well, there you go.
You know, so I'm going to watch just for the commercials. Get better because they haven't been top-notch.
Have they been
slacking? I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
You have some good food, you don't need the commercials. You eat the good food, you're having a good time.
What's good food?
What's your favorite commercial?
We'll have hot dogs. We'll have, you know.
Sounds great.
What's your favorite commercial all time? You have one?
No.
I know one. I have one.
What is it?
It was a technology.
I can't even think what I saw on a commercial in the last show I watched.
It was a technology.
I can't tell you the last show I watched.
It was a technology where it was a computer to pager messaging service, and the message was a reminder to get the dog neutered, And then they talked about the product, and then all of a sudden you saw like a cat paw print come up, and a dog paw print to delete and put in the word cat.
Wow.
And then it cut away. It was awesome.
I'll tell you one I like that I think you may see on Sunday.
Okay.
So I get to see some stuff early. So it's a commercial for Doritos. And a guy goes to buy like a musical instrument, and he sees somebody eating a Dorito. So he gets a triangle, and he causes this new fad about the triangle, you know, and it's just him ringing the triangle. And then a dog, a poodle, is shaved in the triangle, and everything is triangle. So now it's an award ceremony, and it's on this guy, and it's the award goes to the newest blah, 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 and it's on him, right? And then they announce the winner, and it goes to the stage, and it's Elton John playing the triangle. It was pretty funny.
Wow.
I'm not a comedian. I just play one on the radio, so...
No, but you know,
so this is breaking news, though. This is a little inside.
It is breaking news.
Speaking of comedians, I did see the dumbest thing Randy's ever done yesterday. Like, we've been trying to get him to the gym, and this psychopath puts a bottle of water in the Pringles holder on the treadmill. It's crazy. Like, what are you doing?
For Pringles only.
That's round hole on the treadmill. It's for Pringle cans.
I don't
obviously.
Even know what you're talking about.
No, it's a place called the gym, right?
I endorsed a gym. I drove by it twice a day.
And if you
that's pretty good.
It is. And if you call going to the bathroom, the gym, instead of going to the John, you'll go to the gym three times a day.
That's how you really stay in shape. Right? That and pizza.
Honestly, I've talked about it. I think I am going to join a gym Monday. I was going to say tomorrow. And the reason is the guy to my right who made fun of me and said that's the whole thing about 8-Man Strong is being in the gym and working out and eating right and living life right. But look at this shirt I just got. It's the new 8-Man Strong. Some of the new ones you need to get.
That looks sweet.
You know, some of the new sayings. And, yeah. So we'll get a box delivered to you. And delivered. It'll be hand delivered. All right, quarter past the hour. Michael Pittman due here any second when Super Bowl I sits next to Super Bowl II. This is Knockout Radio brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Tampa, this is Terrell Owens, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Hofacker and Associates Realty has proudly served the greater St. Petersburg area for over 50 years. Their trusted and experienced agents will help you with your first home, your dream home, and your forever home. Hofacker and Associates are Tampa Bay's land experts. In addition to real estate, they've added a sea division to assist you with all your watercraft needs, from entry-level boating to experienced yachtsmen. They are land and sea experts. Hofacker and Associates, helping people live the Florida lifestyle. Visit HofackerHomes.com.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? Be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070. 5070.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Keenan McCardell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back on radio.
What I miss?
What?
I miss, like, the iconic, like, the Icky Woods shuffle. I miss the Super Bowl shuffle from the iconic 85 Bears. The teams nowadays don't have anything. T.O. doing popcorn.
Well, hold on a second. It's coming, like, back because It wasn't allowed. Players were not allowed to do that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it was penalties. It was 15-yarders. It's so they now they're bringing it back where the rowboats in the
Cincinnati,
end zone.
We had some good ones. Tampa, they always have some good ones. We got people grittying all over the place. It's coming back.
Have you jumped into the
what's the O-line Army do? Does the O-line do anything?
Well, usually you're exhausted, so you turn around. Good job. You head to the sideline or get ready for PAT, one of the two.
Have you ever seen the Super Bowl shuffle?
I don't know.
You need to Google it. It's really bad because, you know, we're talking about in the 80s and just, you know, everything about it.
It's so good.
But it is so good. And it was so – you're really putting yourself out there. You know, you're pretty much saying, you know, we are – the ships,
yeah,
you know,
ships.
You know, and you're putting it all in. Then if you don't win,
tough.
You know, it's kind of hard. But I think 3 days, 2 days that they shot it, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah, sweetness in there, Refrigerator Perry.
Well,
Jim McMahon,
the funky QB.
The funky QB.
So it was hurtful to me. Jim McMahon was in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
you know, and again, we all get older. But you know, it's also, you know, football players that, you know, are getting beat up and everything. So I Googled it real quick, and a lot of it, you know, was head trauma, brain trauma. And, you know, he still wears the glasses, so I don't know if he was looking at me, you know, when I asked him this or said this to him. I said, we did a charity event in St. Louis once. And he looked at me, and he goes, St. Louis? And I said, yeah, it was for a charity for helmets for kids on bikes. And within a quarter of a second,
yeah, no time
he said who the person was that did it. Doug Walker.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, Doug Walker's.
Instantly. Yeah, his mind was so sharp. Yeah. So sharp.
I didn't remember. Yeah. You know, so it's tough to look at anybody, you know, that's getting up in age. But, you know, and I don't want to say heroes because I've told my kids heroes are not necessarily athletes. You know, it's what you do, you know, outside of your job. I don't think I hope this isn't disrespectful. You know, an athlete isn't a hero.
Right.
You know, but maybe if somebody does something, Natan Levy, you know, who came out and said something after a UFC fight, you know, about anti-Semitism and, you know, what some people had said. What's the guy's name? West?
Kanye West.
Kanye West made some comments. Yeah. And, you know, in the Jewish religion, he became a hero, you know, for sticking up for what he believes in.
Well, Blaine Gabbert became a hero.
How about that?
When he
that was crazy. I actually haven't talked to him about it yet.
Yeah. Like when he jumped into the bay and, like, you know, rescued people from a plane crash.
He played it cool too. You know, I did what anybody would have done.
Right.
That's pretty cool, man. And everybody was okay from that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody turned out good.
I didn't want to give anybody my name, but I was in the police report, and they're like, "Wait a second, are you the Blaine?" Yeah, I'm the Blaine. but he did. You know, here's the thing that bothered. You know, I always find negative in everything.
Oh, of course, why not?
Well, yeah. Hostile radio. Taking over the airwaves.
You know, they gave a lot of love to him. Right. You know, they gave, you know, the challenge coin. It's Blaine Day.
The city,
what about his two brothers?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, they were there too.
Yeah, they're not Blaine Gabbert, though.
But they're Gabbert and Gabbert.
Yeah.
You know, there was, yeah, I'm just saying it.
Because of who it was.
Obviously, we know it's not. The world is not fair. I don't know if this is breaking news.
Wow. It's not fair.
Grateful for all of them. Dude, that's awesome, man. Yeah, just glad everyone was okay with that. That's crazy stuff.
For sure.
Really crazy stuff.
You going to get to Vegas on March 4th? That's John Jones, by the way.
You know, I was thinking about it. I don't know what's going to happen. I got a busy offseason. That's where offseason stuff adds up quick. You know, you got a wedding to go to. You got this to go to, that to go to. Wife's got a baby shower, you know.
Well, that's like the meme and stuff that comes out that a guy says the Super Bowl is on Sunday. I've got a couple plans of a wedding. And then he's like, I'll give you the address of the wedding. I'm going to the game. I mean, I butchered how it was said, but that's kind of what it is. But yeah. I don't know. That's historic.
I mean,
in my mind.
It is historic, but am I crazy to say John's going to ragdoll him? I mean, Francis out-wrestled him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to rag, but I'm expecting him to win.
Yeah.
You know?
Assuming he uses his wrestling. It seems like his last couple of fights, he hasn't used his wrestling. I know it's been a while, but he hasn't used his wrestling as much. But I assume he's going to have to, and he'll use it effectively.
And let's be honest, he hasn't looked good his last couple of fights.
He hasn't.
You know, so... Maybe I'm still in that Kool-Aid because, you know, I said he lost to Dominic Reyes.
Yeah.
I thought he lost. You know, he barely won a couple fights after that. So I'm still thinking of, you know, the old John.
Yeah. And on the feet, I mean, I don't think he's going to look great on the feet against Cyril.
I don't know. I
mean, Cyril's pretty good, man.
I mean, I'm not betting. I'm not a gambler, but maybe I won't keep saying John's a shoe-in.
Yeah, but I think the wrestling is going to be too much.
Let's say John Jones wins on March 4th. Mm-hmm. Let's say Henry Cejudo wins in May. Mm-hmm. Okay? Who becomes the GOAT? Which one of those two? It has to be one of those two. I'm leaning towards one, which may shock you, but so now you know who it is. But
so, well, there's a couple ways to look at it, I guess. For one, John is the most accomplished and probably best fighter ever. And so I would definitely say him. The other side.
I don't know.
I don't know about these.
C4.
I don't know about these picograms, dude. I'm not in on the picograms, so I might have to.
Okay.
I might take John off the list.
But explain to me the first comment that you made.
Yeah. Okay.
If Henry Cejudo comes back and wins a third title,
three different weight classes,
in three divisions,
and an Olympic gold medal.
Well, hold on a second. No, the Olympic
would be a second division.
Second
division for the second time.
Right.
Yeah.
The gold medal doesn't come into play because we're talking GOAT of MMA.
Yeah.
But it comes into play.
So let's talk about it. Let's talk longevity here for one.
Okay.
John, I mean, if you look at who's John has fought, it's from like multiple generations because he's been around so long.
Absolutely.
For one.
Absolutely.
And then two, Henry, I'm a big Henry Cejudo fan. I think he's a straight freaking winner, whatever that means. He is.
Means an Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah, that's for one.
That's what it means.
You look at the Demetrius Johnson fight. Demetrius obviously one of the best ever as well. I thought Demetrius won the fight. So, I mean, like, that could have went either way.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't have that, then he's not getting a double champ. And then who did he beat at 135? So he beat Dominic Cruz. But then who did he win the title from initially? It wasn't
I don't remember.
It was no killer, though. That's what.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
I think if you look at what they've accomplished over their careers, Henry Cejudo hasn't accomplished as much. Maybe I'm out of bounds for that, but.
I don't know. I think he has accomplished more, but I get what you're saying. You got to look at names.
Yeah.
You know, we're just looking at belts.
Yeah.
You know, when I say that, I don't know who all he's
doing. Yeah, so he beat Demetrius in a split decision. Dillashaw, who went down on EPO, we'll say, you know, some more picograms over there, but Dillashaw, when he went down, and then Marlon Moraes is who he won at 135. Marlon Moraes is not...
Right. It's not earth-shattering.
Beater. And then Dominic Cruz at past his prime. You look at John, I mean, it's ridiculous who's John.
No, I mean, that one span, that one span.
I'm starting to Alex's way. I kind of like I'm starting to lean like the food god's way about me being wrong.
No. Hold on.
The food guy.
You are about to get fired.
That's all right. This guy back here got some arms. He'll help me.
Let's go hit a break. When we come back, Super Bowl Champ 1 hanging out with Super Bowl Champ 2. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Snap Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Todd Yoder, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered,
face demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? Be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia. From metal signs and handbags to men's wallets, it's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit Country Depot.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is NFL Hall of Famer.
No, hey, this is NFL Hall of Famer Tony Dorsett. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Hey, yeah, I like this right here. Makes me feel free. It's got that, you know, that bomb.
All right, we are back with you live from Radio Row in Phoenix. This is so cool. And everybody sitting at this table knows me pretty well. I don't smile often, you know, unless there's a big plate of buffet food in front of me.
It's true.
This is so cool. Two generations of Buccaneers, Super Bowl I champion, Super Bowl II champion, and both co-hosts or former co-hosts of the show, Michael Pittman. How are you?
Man, I'm great. Just living life. You know me, Randy. Just enjoying myself, getting old. But staying in shape, of course, man. Just living life, man. Life is good.
I hate the getting old, because if you're getting old, I'm getting older.
Yeah. Hey, that's the way life is. Hey, we both look good still, man. So.
Well, thank you for lying.
Yeah, sure. You both look good. You both look good.
And that's the thing. You got to reintroduce him. It's Michael Pittman Sr. Yeah. Because Junior's in the league now, like following his father's footsteps.
Absolutely, man. And Junior's doing a great job. You know, last year was kind of rough, you know, the quarterback situation. But he's living out there in Indy. You know, he's up for a contract, you know, next year. And hopefully, you know, they could go into this year and restructure and hopefully get them a long-term deal.
You know, I try not to be the comedian of the show.
Right.
You know, he thinks he is.
My job.
But I know, and you and I have talked about this. So Junior sent Mike a TV the same size as the number that he wore.
Yeah.
And then he changed his number. So luckily he did it before he changed the number, or it would have been a very small TV.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome, man. It was 86 inches, but yeah, if you send 11 inch, I probably would have sent it back to him. But it was a great present, man. I appreciate my son.
What's it like, you know, watching him perform? You know, not, you know, that he's doing great, not that he's the number one receiver, just the fact that, you know, he did follow the footsteps. He's right. Now doing what you did.
Well, I mean, it's a blessing because, you know, everybody who loves their children, you know, want to see their children succeed. You know,
not all of us.
Well, not all of us. But it's just awesome, man, because it wasn't forced. Like, you know, I didn't just put a football in his hand and tell him, hey, you're going to play football or else. No, I just put a football in his hand and he just started loving the game. Him and my other son, Micah. And just watching your child live out his dreams and, you know, do all great things. I mean, it's a blessing, man, honestly, because he deserves it. He's a great son. I mean, in his whole entire life, I could tell you only yelled at him by, you know, probably three or four times. You know what I'm saying? never had to spank him. He always did the right things, and he deserves all this greatness that's going to come his way, like in the future. So, but yeah, definitely proud.
I don't know much about Junior, right. You know, because he was out on the other coast. Right. And I was told that he came to one of our radio shows. I don't remember. But the other one, and when I post this all the time, I remember Micah was, four?
Yeah, three or four.
Climbing on the pool table at the house. And now he's doing it, too.
Yeah, he's at Florida State. His college career hasn't been as successful as Michael Jr.'s yet, but Micah has all the potential in the world to do the same things that Michael Jr. has done, you know, so far in his career. It's just Micah got to stay healthy, you know, ever since he's been in college football, you know, the last 4 years. He has some type of injury that slowed him down. But he has all the potential in the world to do great things. So hopefully his last year at Florida State, you know, he go out there, shine, at least put, you know, 700 yards up. And I believe he'll get drafted sooner or later.
You know, I did forget, you know, as Adam's like, no, he's not a Buccaneer. He's a Cardinal. And I'm like, no, I didn't get a Cardinal jersey. He's not a Cardinal. I don't know if you saw this. So somebody posted, one of your game jerseys is on eBay for $2,500.
Wow. Mm. I wouldn't buy it. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I'm just joking.
No, well, no, but, of course. But I was joking. I'm joking what I'm about to say. I did post this, but I'm joking. I said, for $2,500, I'm going to have to reach out and see if I can sell mine.
I wouldn't blame you. I sell mine, too.
I would never do that.
You'd probably get another one.
You know somebody.
I love the Cardinals. I love the Bucks. I had a great time playing with both organizations, man. I mean, obviously, being with the Bucks, I won a Super Bowl there, and I had a little bit longer history there. So, I wouldn't change, you know, my career for the world, man. So,
obviously, Alex knows the same things you and I did, Alex and I did. So there was times back then, the team, or really Mike, a lot of them would be in the back room eating it. And all these knucklehead media that you and I have talked about, we won't say names, they're like, hey, Randy, can you do me a favor? Can you get Pitt out here so I could talk to him? I'm like, if Pitt wanted to talk, he'd be out here.
Clearly, he doesn't.
That's right, man. I mean, I really didn't mess with anybody, you know, in the media except, you know, Randy. You know, Randy's my guy, man. And so all the media, you know, you say the top guys, whatever, you know, they'll go through Randy to get to me. Randy will call me on my cell phone. Hey, Mike, can you come out here? Fox will want to talk to you. I'm like, no, tell him I'm doing something. And Randy's like, oh, he's back
he's
there getting treatment. But, Randy's always been my guy. You know how it is. You know, we don't like talking to the media. We do it.
Because I don't like talking to the media.
But when you have great guys like yourself, Randy, we build a relationship. So, you know what I'm saying? We're more than just like friends, man. We're like family.
We are.
So it's like, you know, I do like anything for you, man. That's why I'm here.
Well, and not to say the same thing with Alex, but I believe this. There is zero chance Alex Kappa would be on Radio Row, especially at this Super Bowl, that he should have been at if it wasn't for that we were doing this show.
0%.
0%. As is our next guest, who should be here in about a half an hour with Chuck Liddell coming.
Right.
You know, Chuck Liddell wouldn't come to this zoo that is Radio Row.
Right. Just me neither, man. I wouldn't be down here if it wasn't for you. So if you wasn't here, I wouldn't be at this Radio Row.
If I wasn't here, I wouldn't be here either. So.
Shout out to Randy.
How do you think it's changed, you know, both of you guys? You know, the league, the Bucks. I mean, I know you guys just met, so it's not like you know each other, but... You know, do you think it's still the same in the locker room? It's the same everything?
Well, I'm sure a lot of it's the same, but I'm curious because it seemed like when I got there, it was like there was a big change when BA came in and then Tom came in, and it was like, okay, now everybody's interested in the Bucks. But when you were there, people were interested in the Bucks, and then they kind of had that downtime in the middle. So I wonder if we had similar – was it a big media circus? Was everybody into it when you guys were really good back then too?
Well, I mean, we didn't have Tom Brady. But, you know, we had guys like Derrick Brooks,
four Hall of Famers.
John Lynch, and now Rondé Barber went into the Hall of Fame. I mean, we had them guys. I can't forget to mention Simeon Rice. So we had some big-time, you know, name guys on our football team. And, you know, when we went to the Super Bowl that year, I mean, of course, it was a media frenzy. But, I really don't know how the locker room now is. I can only imagine, you know, because with Tom and, you know, everything else going on.
This makes it worse.
What's that?
Social media, social cell media. Phones.
Yeah, so because when I was playing, you know, social media, it wasn't no Instagram or anything. Facebook was just starting getting popular at that time. But, like, all the posting and things like that, we didn't do any of that because we didn't have that. So, I mean, I don't know how it is in the locker room now because I'm not there. But, when I played, You know, it still was a media frenzy because of our defense.
I don't even think it was Facebook. Wasn't it MySpace back then?
Yeah.
Well, I'm MySpace. Not that old, man.
maybe early in his career.
Yeah, early, MySpace, exactly. Yeah. But honestly, though, I think Facebook was coming around like later on, maybe around 2010. I was out of league by that time because my last year was 2008. And then I retired after that, man. But we didn't have.
What is has anything juniors gone through like been kind of like shocking to you? Like, oh, it wasn't like that when I was playing, or any advice that you did give him that was really helpful for him, or anything like that?
Well, I mean, today things that you know he's going through. Just say that I didn't go through. Just say like when it comes down to how they recruit like guys like not like in college and things like that. Yeah. You know? They with social media, you can just send them a DM message on Instagram and offer somebody a scholarship or something like that.
That's
man.
How most of it's done, right?
Yeah, things is different, man. And the only thing I told my son is just about just going out there, working hard, and appreciating every single day and every moment. Because when you're done playing, I mean, you miss it, and you wish you could go back and change like a lot of things, like maybe a lot of mistakes, or appreciate every single moment. Because there's times where you go through the game and you're just tired, you want to be out there, you want to just go home. But once you retire, you're like, man, damn. I wish I was out there again. You know, I missed the camaraderie. I missed the crowd. You know what I'm saying? I missed scoring touchdowns. And you tend to, like, think, like, dang, I didn't appreciate every single moment.
Yeah.
I wish I could go back and do it over again. So I just tell Junior, really, just appreciate every moment and just give it your best every single time you're out there.
You notice how he didn't say he missed his radio show?
That's true. Come on, man.
Because he still gets to stop by.
I definitely missed my radio show. I think we went, 6 years strong or something like that,
Randy? We went strong.
Wow.
Yeah. Man.
I think it was every Tuesday or something like that?
Every Monday. It was Tuesday, and then we switched it to Monday because you know why we switched it from Tuesday to Monday?
I can't remember.
Yeah, because you and I were playing softball on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. We was killing it, too, man. I started off slow because I had that bad eye, and then I picked it up, started knocking them out the park.
So, two quick softball things, and then so, Alex, Michael Pittman scored on a sacrifice fly. All right, Michael Pittman's on third base.
Okay,
scores on a pop up sacrifice fly to. Name a position you think he scored from.
Well, because you're setting me up here, I'm going to take a wild guess and say the second base.
Shortstop.
Ah, yeah.
Barely on the grass, and he scores.
Were you at shortstop? Is that why?
Thank you. The other one,
please comment to me.
He hits like a three-hopper to the third baseman. Third baseman nonchalant, picks it up, throws it over to first base, pits on second.
Man, I just stopped running, man.
How did that happen?
Yeah, we were going full speed, man. We had a great time out there.
It was fun.
What was the guy's name? The other
Tiger?
Yeah, Tiger. Yeah. He was a monster out there, too. Yeah, How's he doing?
He's doing good.
That's good.
Still on the long drive tour.
Really?
He's the world long drive champ in whatever year it was. I don't remember. I think 17. He's a big fisherman now.
Yeah, he was a super athlete. Hey, you could tell he's an athlete.
You know what he does now is he goes to Walmart and he does these viral videos where he checks people's itinerary, what they buy on the receipt.
You know how you check the receipt?
And he'll check anybody has no affiliation with Walmart, and he just records, and everyone stops and lines up, and they voluntarily hand the receipt over, and they wait, and they're patient, and he's just going through their stuff, just looking at them like,
I gotta check that out.
And he even did that before you started checking yourself out.
Yeah.
You know, and now they check your thing, except for people like me that refuse to do it. You know, I work here now.
Right.
I just bagged my own stuff. If you want to check, you bag it. But, yeah, Steve's up there. I need to check your, and, he's a little intimidating with his dreads and all that. And they're like, okay, here you go.
So, Pick, going back to the part about missing it and, like, the little things you wish, like avoiding people and not being so public. The story that Randy always talks about is about how you wore your own jersey as a deflection
so
people wouldn't think that it was you when you showed up to the softball field.
We played at Woodlawn. You're like, Randy, don't tell anybody that I'm playing. And then you come out in your Senior Bowl jersey.
Yeah, that was – I don't know why I did that. Randy's like, I thought you were me to let you know, let people know that you're coming, but I mean, you're advertising yourself. And I was like, you know what, damn it, you're right, man. I'm like, what am I thinking? But the Senior Bowl jersey was so comfortable, man. But so
I
don't know why I put it on. I had the sleeves cut off.
Brilliant.
I just I don't know. Maybe I felt strong in that jersey or something, man. But
we played in Clearwater one game, and Pitt's batting, and the guy catching has a Buccaneer tattoo on his leg, and he's like, I think I recognize this guy. I was playing one time, and I think it was Seth McClug. I think he played for the Rays, the Devil Rays at the time. He comes up, he's batting left-handed, and I'm catching, and he looks down. And he goes, it's not me. you know, because you can't play while you're playing, right? He's like, it's not me. You don't see me here. It definitely was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think we won the championship that year, didn't we?
I think we won it every year.
Yeah, I was knocking him out the park along with Tiger, too.
This team was stacked. It's stacked in, you know, Mike got challenged a couple times. You know, we had a very fun incident one time.
Which one? I can't remember.
I remember everything about it.
I think I remember the incident you're talking about.
And it was all because of Steve Monroe.
Yeah.
So we were playing in a softball league that had stealing. And, you know, we're only beating this team, which happened to be Hooters, which is also a sponsor of the show.
They had some big guys on the team.
You know, had some big so Tiger, which was his nickname, stole home, slid into the catcher, knocked the ball out, and next thing you know, there's a bench-clearing brawl. I'm coaching first base, okay? The catcher, who I think has been incarcerated for stupidity, all right, instead of going after Tiger, which would have been a bad idea, he goes after Mike.
He tried to go after me.
He tried to go after Mike. Yeah. I beat the guy there. And I'm blocking, right? And it's like, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was, it got pretty intense. You know, what happened was, you know, once Tiger, you know, he stole home and he went to go slide, but the guy, he's a pretty big guy. He threw an elbow at Tiger's neck. Mm. And so he went backwards. And so, you know, that's my teammate. So I went out there and, of course, you know, said a few words. and we got in each other's face. Like Randy said, it was like a bench-clearing brawl. But nobody really even, like, threw punches. But it came real close. But we had a good time, though.
I purposely was leaving it out. But since Mike didn't bring it up, Mike became a discus thrower, if you remember.
I can't remember. What
I ran over and I grabbed you by the arms.
Did I throw somebody?
Yeah, me.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, that doesn't count.
I think I did apologize after it was over. Oh, I like my bad.
All night long. And yeah, I'm like, I would rather you throw me than throw somebody else. Yeah, but I felt bad. It's the longest I've been thrown, too.
I was a lot bigger than too. I was like a lot stronger, man, and a little bit younger. So
I just asked Alex this question, and because I can see everybody looking around. And I've told these clowns that if you're ever going to lose your job, if you're ever going to lose your credential,
right,
to go get a picture with somebody, to go meet somebody, and I've done it, you know, and I always say I think I'm one of the most professional in what I do.
Right.
I got in the ring at Affliction when Fedor fought Tim Sylvia to get a picture with Donald Trump.
Okay.
Pre-president, turned out, you know, who is that one person? If that one person, not necessarily this radio show, because the two of you are professional, this guy would get up and run to go see Bret Michaels.
I'm looking at your camera guy. He's about to hyperventilate. Look at him. He's about to drop the camera.
Who is that one, whatever, athlete, musician, actor, that one person that's like, this is an opportunity. Oh, now you're running off.
Well, honestly, I mean, I think the only one would probably have been Michael Jackson, honestly, because I see, you know, you could say like big time, you know, athletes all the time, you know, especially when I was playing football, and it wasn't like, oh, there's Michael Jordan. No, it's like, you know, Mike, you know, big fan of yours type of deal. But I wouldn't go out of my way or lose my credentials over Michael Jordan, even though I think he's the greatest of all time.
Sure.
But, you know, Michael Jackson, he's just on a different level of just superstardom, you know what I'm saying? And so he's probably been the only one that I'll probably be like, man, I got to go meet Mike. I don't care what happened. You could kick me out. I got to go shake this guy's hand. Probably wouldn't have got that close, but he's probably the only one.
Oh, no, and then he would have, you know, put his hands on your bicep just like the president.
Yeah. Mr. Bush, talk about, damn, son, he's the biggest guns I ever seen. So that's exactly what came out of his mouth, man. That was crazy. But it was crazy because I never thought in my life I'd be shaking the hands of a U.S. president.
That's pretty cool.
So that was really cool, man. That was really cool.
So speaking of biceps and the guns, like, you know, like I know a lot of former NFL players, they have to do two a days. They're forced to work out. They're forced to hit the weight room. And it's not an enjoyable process because it's made. They have to. They're forced.
Right.
So when they get done playing, the last thing they want to do is pick up a weight.
Right.
But afterwards, you decided to go and become a pro bodybuilder or chase down a dream. Well, and so talk to the process. Like, what was different in that process versus being on a team and having a curriculum where you had to do certain things versus voluntarily doing it? Because no one made you do it at 40.
Yeah, nobody made me do it at 40. It was more like a bucket list thing at that time. At that time, I really wasn't doing too much for myself, and it was more like I was just catering to my children and all their needs and what they was doing. So I was like, man, I need to do something for myself, get myself going, you know, because I was always into working out. And I was like, you know, let me see if I could turn pro, you know, at 40 years old. And so I got into, like, you know, training even more intense. You know, it was very tough at the time because I have, like, a severe neck and back injury, and that's why I didn't keep going. But it was just being disciplined. You know, the diet was really key into turning pro. I mean, because you just can eat like anything and everything.
Sure,
you think
I can.
You don't go out there? No,
you can.
I wish you could. Oh. I wish you could.
But I'm about to blow your mind, Mike.
It was very intense, man. And I worked my butt off, and I turned pro in four shows. I turned pro in four shows, and then after I turned pro, I made pro. I never did it again. I mean, honestly, it was so tough, man. But I wasn't trying to make a career out of it, and I saw how intense a lot of those guys were out there who really want to try and make a career out of it. And, you know, you see guys who was about that close to turning pro, you know what I'm saying, that comes in third place and he's crying backstage because he didn't turn pro. And I knew that I wanted to make pro, but it wasn't like this is a life or death type of situation. So I just stepped away from him. I was like, this is really not for me. You know, I don't want to need to have to take, you know, enhancement drugs in order to win a trophy and win a title, because in IFBB, you have to take those drugs.
For sure.
I don't care what anybody say. In order for you to win, come in the top five, you had to take some type of enhancement drug. I'm not really into doing that type of stuff, man. So that's another thing I wanted to shy away from. And I'm not knocking none of those guys, man. They work hard to get that big. But to get shredded up, man, you definitely need them, you know, enhancements. So it was just something I didn't want to continue to do. I have fun doing it, and I just moved on to other things in life.
But speaking of working out, the fact that I drive by a gym twice a day.
Does.
So you know how you guys get paid to come to the facility to work out.
Right.
Right? Okay. So Michael Pittman would drive to the facility and work out, you know, and make his cheddar, butter, whatever you young people call it. And
I don't think they say any of that, but okay, I got you.
And then he would drive from the facility of just getting done working out to the gym to go work out.
Yeah.
Because the workout for the champion just begins when everybody else for the team is done, right?
Yeah, the thing was, honestly, I mean, as a player and me, I just knew what it took to have longevity in the NFL. And I always wanted to be one of those players that, you know, try to lead by example on and off the football field. And so there are times where I didn't want to work out because I knew I was going to leave the facility and work out on my own. But I'll go in, I do, you know, my strength coaches work out, and I do it to the best of my ability. But I felt like I needed more. So after I worked out, I would go to the public gym and get some more work in. But, you know, honestly, I mean, it allowed me to stay, I believe, in the league 11 years. And that's really unheard of for running backs, you know, nowadays in this generation. Because in my generation, we tackled, man, to the ground twice a day, every day, full pads in camp. We didn't have, like, no two-padded practices, you know, twice a week like it is now.
Yeah.
And it's great for the players now because it keeps them safe and away from, you know, injuries, concussions, things like that. But my years, man, if you didn't tackle to the ground, you wasn't working hard enough. That's just the way it was. It was old school. So I lasted those years, man. And so that's why I always felt the need to always go to the gym and keep myself at the, you know, tip-top shape, you know what I'm saying, to last long.
So I became a pro natural bodybuilder at 41 years of age.
Awesome, man. Of course. Congratulations. I didn't know that.
Of course
you did. Awesome, man.
I ate nothing but pizza.
Of course he did.
I track macronutrients. I use science. But I'll tell you this, and maybe you can shine some light on this as well. What I learned through the process was, in the bodybuilding world, you're only judged on your flaws. You're only judged on your weak points. No one's out there complimenting on your biceps. That's the White House. That's the president. That's President Bush.
No, you're right.
But in the bodybuilding world, you're only judged on your weaknesses.
Yeah.
And so I learned so much about myself, about being the wherewithal and the resolve to, like, continue to keep going, even when you lack certain areas of your life,
right,
whether it be business or financial or relationships. And bodybuilding changed my life. And I did it using a novelty of a pizza-only diet as a gimmick.
Right.
But I applied science and discipline, hard work, and I stayed focused, and I became a champion. And so much respect for going through the process.
I appreciate it, man.
And whether people say it or not, they all are learning from watching you go through that. Your children and your community and the people. And I'm just honored to be a fan of yours.
Hey, man, and you know how hard it is. I mean, you did it. So, man, congratulations to you. I mean, it takes a lot to become a bodybuilder and to go pro, you know, at our age. Yeah. So, man, congratulations.
Thanks,
that's awesome, man.
Yes, sir.
We briefly touched on Mike. Next, where is he? Like I said, I remember him jumping on the pool table at 3, sitting on your lap doing the radio show. Now at FSU, how's that going? When will he, you know, leave school and go play?
He's doing good. He's doing really good. You know, like I said earlier in the show, he's just a little bit frustrated because he hasn't had the years that he expected to have. You know, because Micah coming out of college, he was like one of the top, you know, receivers in all of the country and things like that. He had 33 scholarship offers, you know, all top schools. And, you know, ever since he got into college, he's just been struggling, you know, with just staying healthy. And so that affected his play, obviously. But he's loving it out there at Florida State. He likes the coach. He likes the quarterback. You know, him and the quarterback are like best friends out there. And he just wants to go into this final year. He's a senior now at Florida State. So he's hoping just go out there and perform to the best of his ability. You know what I'm saying? Injury-free and put up some numbers. You know what I'm saying? And I told him, because I like to be honest with my children. I don't try to tell them things they want to hear. I just tell them things they need to hear. Just like when Michael was going into the draft and going into like his last year, I always tell my son, if you want to go to a certain level, you got to put in a certain amount of work. You know, you got to put up these type of numbers. And the same thing with Micah, because I'm not going to tell my hey, son, you're going to go second round. You know, no, you're not going to go second round right now. If you put up some numbers, son, and you do some electrifying punt returns and you show these coaches and these scouts, man, that you have the ability to last a whole year, man, you will go maybe like, you know, top 3-4 rounds, you know, honestly. And that's why I see my son. But he has to stay healthy, man, and put up numbers.
Well, I think Randy, his best story that I can recall of many of his stories is that he talked to, I think, Kyle Petty about his father would get him an opportunity to give him a chance, but it was his talent.
Yeah, you know, the way I was talking to Kyle Petty about, you know, doors and doors are open. And he goes, yeah, absolutely. My last name opened doors.
Right.
My dad's Richard Petty. Yeah. But the talent's either going to keep me here or send me out the door.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I have to perform. But, you know, you've got the name. But, yeah, that only goes so far.
That only goes so far. You know, I'm not the reason Michael Jr. got drafted, you know, early in the second round. It was his performance, you know. And obviously he stepped up to the plate and he's have done a lot of great things at Indy. This year was a little bit of a fall off because of the quarterback situation. But yes, he has a name, but you still got to go out there and perform. You got to put up numbers. You got to show your toughness. You got to show that you could be available every single week. And that's what Michael has been doing, you know, out there in Indianapolis. He's the number one receiver right now. I feel like he has a bright future. Only thing he needs is a consistent quarterback, you know, somebody he could grow with. Because since he's been in NFL the last 3 years, he had 3 different quarterbacks. Yeah. And that's unheard of for a receiver. You know, you can't build a connection with the guy when you always changing quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So hopefully they could get a quarterback in the draft, and it's somebody that, you know, him and Michael Jr., I mean, Michael can, like, you know, grow a relationship with and become close and have a great career.
Let me give you another suggestion. When you go to a Colts game incognito and you don't want people to know who you are, don't wear your son's jersey.
Yeah, that's it.
No. It's kind of different now. You know what I'm saying? Now that I'm a dad, I'm a father, I want to be proud. I want everybody to see the Michael Pittman, you know, Senior on the back, man, because I'm proud of my son.
Yeah.
So I want everybody to know, like, who his father is.
Oh, no, for sure.
Is.
No.
Yeah, but when I was playing, I just always liked to be incognito, man. I'm like, I just want to just sit back and just watch everybody.
Or you could just have Junior drive down I-65 to Cincinnati, and he's got a good protection and a great quarterback over there just waiting for him.
I can't really say anything, but I wouldn't mind at all. You know what I'm saying? I think Joe Burrow is just, man, I think the guy is elite, especially, I think, was a year 3 for him or year 2?
3.
Is it 3? And for him being a year 3, you know what I'm saying, quarterback, man, this guy is lights out ahead of, like, anybody I've seen. Just saying, in year 3 right now. I mean, you can't even name another quarterback having the success he has had maybe in year 3 that he is having. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, the quarterback is definitely the most valuable position on the team. And when you got guys like, you know, like Joe Burrow, you know, Patrick Mahomes, them type of guys that could be a difference maker, I mean, it makes a big difference for the team. So, I mean, I would love Michael to play for Cincinnati, man. I can't knock the Colts.
Okay. You know, who had the greatest line, and Alex and I talked about it when he was asked, you know, what's your window?
Yeah.
And he said, my window is my entire career.
Right.
That's what Burrow said.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
But yeah, man, the guy is super confident. You could tell. And that's what it takes to be the quarterback. You know, you got to have a little swag to you, man. Yeah. You got to be have a little sense of humor and everything. That's what he has.
I know we only have another minute or so, and before I ask you who you like on Sunday, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, confidence and conceit.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think he comes across as conceited.
No,
I just, you know, but you can tell. Like, there's certain people that say the exact same thing the exact same way, and you're like, that guy's a jerk. He's coming across like, you know, he's so conceited that he's – but Burrow does it. He comes like, I am this good, and I know it.
Exactly, man. I mean, that's how you want your quarterback to be. You know, you want to be like a badass, like, man, that's my guy right there. I mean, you can't have your the leader on the team be, you know, like somebody that don't believe in his ability. When he steps in front of the mic, you can just tell, like, you know, he has like a, you know, like the sense of humor, like, you know, like he knows he's the man, and he is the man, and he backs it up.
Yep.
I mean, every single year. He does. I mean, he knows him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's his teammate, so he knows him best, man. And as a, like, just a fan watching him and a playing the game, he has everything that it takes to be, you know, a superstar in this league for a long time.
Who do you like on Sunday? Who do you think wins?
Kansas City.
Okay. There you go.
And
there is no better way to end this show, honestly, than the two of you being here. I don't know any.
I have a better way. Joe Burrow may be the man, but he's no pit man. That's the best to do it.
I appreciate that.
There is no better way to end this show, seriously.
But Joe Burrow is the man.
He's not a pit man.
Well, we get all that. $2, one X-Buck. Well, you're both X-Bucks because you're sort of a Cardinal,
but
I guess.
But he's still playing. My guy's still playing.
Both have rings. I would not want to end the show with anybody other than the two of you. I appreciate both of you guys coming out here.
I appreciate you, man.
And we're going to send you. Well, no, you can stop by and get all your gear from 8-Man Strong as well.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know 8-Man Strong was down here. I mean, I know you was even located in Arizona. So.
We're going to exchange everything right now. We're at the top of the hour. Love to both of you guys. And we will be back at Tournament to Pizza next week, live from Radio Row. It is over. It's now the taste of the NFL tomorrow. I can't wait.